Welcome to the Fabric Podcast, where we're talking about what's at the core for Fabric as a movement and community, and hopefully inspiring you to wonder what's at your core, too. Here's Greg Meyer.
Hi. Simple question for you today. What are you accomplishing with your life? Okay, before you click stop on this podcast, let me assure you that I'm kidding. Sort of. Well, I'm messing with you at least. We're spending 5 weeks looking at five core values, the stuff at Fabric's core that we seek to have be the why, the reason behind what we do and how we do it. Knowing what is at your core is important because whatever it is will be guiding your life, your family, your organization, or whatever you're part of. And it's easy for things to end up in your core unsuspectedly, slipping past your best intentions because it was how you were raised and you never thought about it before it became part of your operating system. Or it may have been because of other influences and experiences you had, or that never-ending influence of society and media. Those influences aren't all bad, but when they're unchosen and haphazard, they're unlikely to represent what matters most to you, and therefore unlikely to guide you where you want to go with your life. There's more on this in our first week of our At the Core podcast from January 14th. Anyway, last week we talked about a core value that reminds us to brave uncertainty. That could give you the impression that you should never drive your stake too deeply into any plans or hopes because you need to be ready to pivot and change, not knowing what's going to happen next, and just doing that's going to take all the will, courage, and strength you've got. And that points out an important aspect of how core values work. Any one of them alone isn't a good guide. Core values are each a point of a star, one component of a powerful network. They function together. I like to think of them as an ecosystem. The core value we want to explore today balances our embracing of uncertainty. It is think big. Make no small plans. Unleash what you can imagine to be possible. Remember that you don't just have to do things, you get to do them. Great things. And most certainly, it is reminding you that what you do matters. You are not 1 in 7 billion. You are 1 in 7 billion. Did you get what I did there? I emphasized the 1 instead of the 7 billion. Got it? No? Well, the point is, you matter and you can think big, okay? Anyway, you may have noticed that I like TED Talks. I not only find inspiring ideas there, I discover inspiring people there. People who aren't afraid to think big, oftentimes even in the face of incredible odds. Watch Shabana Basij Rasik's TED Women's Talk from last year. After the Taliban took over Baghdad and all of Afghanistan, about her big dream of educating girls in and for Afghanistan. She is amazing. And here's what she says about thinking big in the face of uncertainty.
We have faced the uncertainty of what might be, and we have turned it into the certainty of what will be.
Of what will be. Wow. That is thinking big. Starting a school for a couple hundred students in a major city is no small peanuts anywhere, but it's also not the biggest undertaking in the world. What is big is what she's doing it in the face of, and the uncertainty she needed to be prepared for to protect her big dream from turning into a tremendous tragedy for those girls in her school and their families when, not if, but when the Taliban returned to power, which they did in August of last year. Shabana Basij Rasik is still thinking big. Fabric is interested in thinking big because church needs to be reinvented. We aren't trying to dismantle the church that is. We aren't saying that it's wrong. What we see is that there are millions of people across several generations who aren't connecting with what church has been. We have a big dream of not having, going, or belonging to a church, but being church. We dream of not seeking conformity in doctrine or beliefs, but finding unity in the diversity of our journeys and being fellow travelers learning from one another and with each other. We want to help create communities with significant relationships around conversations that matter, and to do it in a three-stranded way that weaves our true selves with others and the third strand that is bigger, beyond, between, within, and around us all, often called by that shorthand name God. We believe that kind of weaving can make a big difference in our lives and in our world. So we'd like to see it happening everywhere it can. Now, how everyday thinking turns into big thinking, that's a good question. So to get a handle on that, I talked with Carl Ulfers and Justin Lay. They're both part of our Fabric community and aren't afraid to face the uncertainty of what is to turn it into the certainty of what will be. Carl Offlers and Justin Lay, it is great to have you here with me today and talking about thinking big, because you guys are both pretty big thinkers. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what is your Think Big project that you're working on.
So I'm Justin. A couple years ago, founded a new company called Rima Health. Rima is a mix of community guides and a piece of software that does lots of messaging via SMS with Medicaid members. So we combine these things, all aimed at addressing the social and clinical needs of the Medicaid members that we serve. The mission at Rima is that we are transforming the way people navigate the gaps between healthcare and social care.
So that sounds easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically done. We've really done it.
Why is this so ambitious? Or why did you think you needed to do this?
Yeah, I would say the confluence of a couple of things. One is my childhood. I'll get real personal here for a hot minute. My parents got divorced when I was 2 years old. My dad left. I grew up without a dad. My mom was a single mom with three kids. We were poor. We moved around a lot. We were on a number of government programs like Medicaid and, you know, food stamps back then. And I just feel really lucky to have emerged from my childhood the way that I did. You know, I had certainly a number of advantages, some of which are obvious and some are less obvious. Like my mom just had a good built-in social support system. And so I am the product of like how a kid can emerge from a childhood like that when there is a good social support system. There, you know, there were months on end we would have been homeless, except that we could live with my grandparents. And that is but one example of lots of kind, generous things that people did for me and my family as I was growing up. And so you take that along with a lot of what Carl and I have both experienced in our healthcare careers of working for large companies, small companies that are always trying to like reduce the cost of care, you know, create better healthcare outcomes. You know, whenever I would sit in someone's living room and do this kind of research to figure out what do people need to like live a healthier life, get better health outcomes, I'd always walk away, you know, with our smart project team and we'd sit down in our project room and it's like, what can we make for them? And it's like, what this person needs is a good therapist. What they need is better family support. What they need is more secure housing, more food, right? It's never all about healthcare. So when you combine that healthcare experience along with my childhood, you get Rima.
Carl, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your Think Big idea is right now.
We're in, frankly, an aging crisis right now where we have more older adults than we ever had. Those older adults have more needs than they've ever had. And it often gets totally missed that the way today that aging happens is all of those needs fall on the shoulders of unpaid family caregivers. Our Think Big idea at Duos is really that intersection between older adults and their aging and their family caregivers, and really trying to help make sure they have everything they need to be able to age as best they can while easing the burden for the caregivers in their lives.
So what made you think you could do this?
Yeah, it's great. That's a great question.
I mean, it presumes we think we can do this.
Well, would you be trying it if you didn't?
You know, here's what I'd say, Greg. Like, I guess maybe to tie back to like how I was raised, like, I was basically told like there's no problem that's impossible. You can figure your way out through anything. And I think that's probably why Justin and I both smirked when you just asked that question, because it's not like 100% confident that either of us are going to be able to solve these big problems. But like the beautiful thing about, you know, starting a company is it's not just you. It's the amazing people that you end up hiring that are going to go join you in the mission of trying to solve the problem. And you hopefully along the way, you get smarter, and you get better at everything that you're doing. And you try to do that each and every day. And as long as you stay focused on, I love the question you started with, as long as you stay focused on why you originally started the company and like who you're trying to serve. Yeah. You hope that the rest of it then falls in place as you keep working at the problem set day after day after day.
What about you, Justin? You perceived the need. And so I could maybe hear why you said you wanted to do it, but why did you think you could do it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo a lot of what Carl said there. I mean, certainly being surrounded by smart people that are also passionate about the mission helps a lot. Carl said this too, you know, I'm not 100% confident that we can do this. You know, like, can we really solve this problem? I mean, basically, is it a solvable problem is a question. You know, is our solution the right solution? And I mean, these are all things that I believe to be true, but I also have to be open to them not being true every single day, right? Because what we're doing might not be the right thing. We have to be open to pivoting around it a little bit to get to the right thing. The confidence is not, we're going to do this thing and it's going to work this way. The confidence is, I believe in REMA's ability to find its way to the right thing. So I think for me, it's a little more about process and less about confidence.
Process. Yeah, that's got to be one of the most critical components to making any big idea continue to move forward. Let me shift gears here a little bit and talk about resourcing our big ideas. No matter what kind of big idea we have, again, finding ways of making it sustainable is just going to have to happen. In the healthcare area, that probably means, at least in part, financial. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that for any kind of innovative healthcare approach like you two are trying to work with, the only way to do that used to be by saving big insurance companies money by more efficiently serving their hard-to-reach, hard-to-serve customers. And that way they would pay you to do that. But that's all changed now. Is that right?
So one of the great changes, I think, that started to happen, largely driven by policy changes by CMS, by Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they've changed that game. So, Greg, they've put an incentive system in place for payers, helping people get access to care and get access to services, things like getting rides to the doctor, things like food after being discharged from hospital admission, et cetera. They've allowed those things now to get covered under Medicare benefits. And so if you go back 5 years, even a company like mine couldn't have existed because you're right, Greg, it would have been entirely focused on the idea of saving those payers' medical costs. But with the changes that Medicare has made, which allow services like ours to be embedded in the benefit structure, and the fact that better that those individuals do at getting access into care, the greater the bonuses are from Medicare to those payers. Those two things have actually what created the ability for a company like ours to exist. And so it is a shift. It's actually a really big shift that we're jumping on to help help this company work.
So it's sort of like CMS came up with a big idea that allowed you to create your big idea to go after it. That's
100%.
Pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Medicaid, well, Carl, you can weigh in here too, but you know, Medicaid has a lot of the same trends. We certainly have some of the same tailwinds that REMA is taking advantage of. They just look a little different. They're maybe a little lagging behind Medicare, and then they just vary state to state. So it just kind of looks a little bit different. But I do think, you know, to your first point there, Greg, I think Carl and I have both been fortunate to operate in a place in healthcare where we've been able to align incentives where we build things that make people healthier. It gives them better healthcare outcomes. It also reduces the cost of care. And sort of operating in the middle of that triangle, I've just been super fortunate to spend my career in the middle of that.
Yeah.
That's
Greg, can I hit on something that's, I think, super important that you said, which is our big ideas are sort of built on top of another big idea. And I think that is actually really like the ripple effect. I've talked to some of the people that actually came up with the strategy and helped make this happen from a policy standpoint. And you talk to them, and the fact that companies like Justin and mine exist now literally send them to the moon. They're so happy because they wouldn't have before. We've got people that we help with our program who don't go see the doctor during the winter because they don't own a winter coat. And they're 70 years old, right? And don't have so they just stay in their house because it's the only way that they can just stay warm and make it through another year. And so that shift around health, it's just starting, but I think it's actually really starting to take hold. And hopefully Justin and I, we look back in 5-10 years, and there's a whole nother wave of companies that we've helped enable because of the fact that we took on these challenges. And I think that's step by step how things can get better.
You've spoken to this in many ways already, but what do you think is the big idea? Is it REMA and Duos, you know, the big company with lots of people working for it and big investors and everything? Or is it this idea that you can make people's lives better and you think you know how to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some real art here for both Carl and I, that these are both mission-driven organizations, right, that have a real heart for the work that we do. And there are lots of ways that Carl and I could pursue this, right? Like, we could create a nonprofit. Carl and I could just do this ourselves, right? We could just like go find people that need this help and we could go like do it ourselves. I think there are lots of ways that we can do it, right? I would probably be bad at that myself.
Yeah. I know you too well. Don't do that.
The conclusion that at REMA we have come to is that like the reason we're doing it this way is, you know, like, you know, Carl has raised a bunch of money, REMA's raised a bunch of money, and that is money from like for-profit investors that we are like dropping into these communities that would not otherwise have access to the stuff that we're doing, the work that we're doing. And the speed with which we've been able to do that, I think, is just really heartening. And the speed with which we've been able to make our mission real in the lives of so many people is inspiring. So there's a real art to it though, right? Because you can go too far the other way. You can get maybe with the wrong investors, or maybe really hung up on the valuation of the company and optimizing for the wrong stuff so that you can make more money. What you're hitting on there, Greg, is that it's about balance. It's about making sure that you really are focused on that mission. So at REMA, it's like, we've chosen to do it this way because we think we can do it faster. We think we can scale better and use our mission to impact the lives of more people in a way that we couldn't if we were doing it another way.
Carl, how's that work with Duos?
The real big thing, and I think this is really important, Greg, and like, I had a mentor, he shared this insight with me and like forever stuck with me. And it really drove home this idea of a mission-driven approach being the big idea, Greg. And the line is very simply like, you need to build a missionary focused company to then allow for it to ultimately be mercenary, meaning for it to actually be a viable business. But if you don't start with the missionary company, you will never get to the full achievement of what the potential of the business is. And I firmly, firmly believe that. And the reason to get to the potential of the business is not to be a $1 billion company. It is to impact as many people's lives as possible with what we're trying to go after.
You know, what I like from both of you, what you're saying is that you don't have to choose. Like, I think there's this false choice that I either need to be true to myself and my dreams, my ideals, or go into business. And what you're saying is that when you think big around a business that can accomplish a mission that really is a big idea, and you keep them wedded, the win of one is the win of the other. The business succeeds, allowing the mission to go forward, and the mission succeeding means that the business is going to be able to go forward. And I just think that's big thinking. Wow. Thank you for taking this time with us today and helping us think about thinking big. And we all have it going on in our lives at different levels. You guys have done a great job of taking the gifts that were handed to you to take it into the public sphere and make some dents there. Not all of us will be doing that, but we all have places to make dents with the big thinking that we have in our lives. So thanks for your wisdom on that and your vulnerability and sharing what you had.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Greg, so much.
Justin and Carl are doing amazing work. They're true big thinkers. What's missing here is how we can do this if we aren't CEOs of national mission-driven corporations that have financial investors. And that's pretty much all of us, right? So what are we supposed to do with what they shared except feel small in comparison? Well, the truth is that what Justin and Carl are talking about with REMA and Duos apply to you and me too, even if we aren't running companies. We'll dig into that in a bit, but here's something else. Both Justin and Carl have had big impact on me. And it's not because I use any of the services or companies offer. I don't. They've made a big difference for me because of how they think big in daily life too. Not just in their business life, but in how they have been part of Fabric and how they have been friends with me. They don't just think big about healthcare, but in how they raise their families, which isn't always very pretty. They'll be the first ones to admit that they get off track more than they'd like. But they keep at it with their partners and their other connections with the vision of their family in hand, rather than letting just what happens happen. There's more than one kind of thinking big, more than one arena for thinking big in. Thinking big is for everyone. Yeah, even for you. Now, clearly, there are some people who can't seem to help but think big. Elon Musk come to mind for anyone? That, unfortunately, makes many of us think that we're little people with little eyes, and I don't believe there is such a thing. Recently, someone shared a meme from Jesuit.org, and I think it's kind of funny to have the Jesuits posting memes on social media, but I guess that's my problem. Anyway, it said, "God, give me the wisdom to realize I am not you." An important reminder for all of us in our vain attempts to control our lives and our world. But I immediately thought of the opposite side of the coin, which is what thinking big is all about. And that meme would read something like this: "God, give me the wisdom to realize that I am part of what you are doing. And since you're doing big things, I should be doing big things too. I could be doing big things too." Now, you aren't God, but you are you, and for a reason. You have a role in the big dream God has for this world. You're woven into those dreams just like everyone else. It may be obvious how Justin and Carl are wired for thinking big, but so are you, for you're big. Here's a little perspective for you. You may think that you are insignificant because you're only one in 8 billion people on this planet, and what could you do? That's 1 × 8×10⁹ power. Does sound small. But here's another way to think about it. The chances of particularly you existing is dependent on each of your parents and their parents and on for countless generations having existed and fighting the odds of surviving long enough to have a child, having met the particular other person who would be your parent, grandparent, and so on, so that you could have a very unlikely chance of being the one who emerged from their coupling. Along the way, the number of other outcomes that could have happened rather than you is unfathomable. The odds have been calculated for uniquely you existing in this universe to be 1 × 10⁵ power. 10⁵ power is more than the number of particles calculated to exist in our known universe. Nonetheless, you exist. Anyone feel like they ought to run to the gas station and buy a couple of lottery tickets right now? Yeah, I do. See, you represent an enormous investment by the universe to be able to exist. You can call it chance, random, an accident, but no matter how you label it, it still comes down to the fact that out of all of the things that could have happened, that could have existed, you did. So you represent all those gazillions of others. You matter. Your life is not 1 out of 8 billion. No, it is 1 × 10⁵ other potential people. Wow, what an honor. What an opportunity. And I get to talk to you. I get to share in your being in the world. Thank you. Let's do something with this. Now, the world doesn't need 8 billion new corporations. It needs 8 billion people who are audacious enough to live for something, to think big, and big looks like lots of different things. Take Jesus. You may see him as a creator of the largest institution that has ever existed, Christianity. But I don't think that was him. That's what the Roman Empire did with the movement of love that Jesus got going. What did Jesus do? Travel from city to city around the Middle East, renting venues, appointing executive directors, and fundraising, publishing billboards on where his next event would be, finding promoters to get the word out? Is that what he did? Or did he seem to shy away from crowds, but had compassion and spoke to them when they hungered for his word? Did he continually stop in the midst of a crowd to tend to the one, spend most of his time with close friends, preparing them for what was next, even as he was trying to figure it out? And in the end, when threatened with death, did he decide his life was more important because it was him driving the organization and they didn't dare lose him? Or did the vision he believed in burn so brightly in him that it was more important than any last word, appearance, or desperate attempt at control? He could let them kill him because that would never kill the love he came to bring. Only insisting on his saving his own life could do that. Yeah. I think that's what Jesus' big idea was like. Then we see the opposite side in the Bible too. Moses, the patriarch. Multiple books of the Bible about his life. Heck, he got movies made about him. Here he is, leading a huge crowd, thousands of people, through the wilderness as they fled from Egypt, escaping slavery, becoming a people, That was the big idea. But he got bogged down with the little stuff. There is this fantastic story in the 18th chapter of Exodus when his father-in-law, Jethro, comes to visit and sees what's going on. Let me read part of the story. Jethro asked, "What are you doing? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning till night?" Moses said, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Moses' father-in-law says to him, "What you are doing is not good." Now, I got to stop here and let you know, I did not paraphrase that. If I was going to paraphrase it, I would have said, "What you're doing is stupid." That's actually what the Hebrew said. "What you are doing is not good. You surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you. Now listen to me. I will give you some advice, and God help you. You are such a basket case." That was kind of a Moses joke that I put in there. Jethro goes on. "You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them and make known to them the way they're to go, but you should also look for others. People who fear God, are trustworthy, despise corruption, let them sit as judges for the people. If there is an important case, they'll bring it to you, but they can see to the minor cases themselves. If you do this, you will survive, and all these people, they'll go home to their homes in peace." Now, I just think it's kind of fun to see Moses get reprimanded for thinking small, thinking too much about what he must do and not enough about what he could do. What's your could do? Your big idea, hope, or dream? It doesn't have to be big geographically, financially, or in the number of employees it uses. It's about the wonder of your dream and your ability to make it come to be. It probably won't look like mine. We may not even notice each other's, and that's okay. The people or parts of our universe that your big thinking touches, they're going to notice. And that's what matters. Okay, good enough. We all can think big. But how? Here's what I've learned from the three strands of my experience, the people I've learned from, including Justin Carl, and from that third strand that opens my mind and spirit and fills it with possibility. And also, you know, it's kind of obvious. First, you need a goal, a mission, a purpose. Justin's big idea for REMA is transforming how people navigate the gaps between healthcare and social care. Carl's for Duos is to reimagine freedom at any age. For me with Fabric, it's creating three-stranded communities of significant relationships around conversations that matter. Can you see your big idea, your goal? Does your pulse quicken when you think about it or talk about it? Is it clear enough that while you don't know the whole way to its realization, you can see it well enough to figure out what to try next? What might yours be? It doesn't have to be a clever phrase. If it takes you a minute or two to say it, that's okay. Keep saying it. Keep following it. It will get sharper and clearer. I confess that this next part is my take on this, but I'm willing to go to bat for the fact that our goals, our missions, our purposes behind our big ideas all have something in common, and that is their outcomes will lead to more love and greater quantity and variety of life in the world. There are a lot of dreams and grandiose thinking out there that have dominated over the ages that have had the opposite effect. Our big thinking, in all of its fragility, will stand against that tide. Okay, a goal. You need a goal. Now, this next one, Carl and Justin were pretty clear about it. So is Jethro and his counsel to Moses. And that's this. Use your people. In terms of our core values, choose connection. We can't do it alone, and we don't need to. Just because it is your big idea doesn't mean that you have to do it all. It gets bigger when we're in it together. Choose connection. Use your people. In Care IQ, we call it expand the circle. Got it? Good. Okay, now Justin named our next component to healthy big thinking pretty accurately. Trust the process more than your certainty. The fact is, you don't know. You don't know what the future will bring. You don't know how to get all the way to your goal from where you stand right now. If you did, it wouldn't be a very big idea, would it? And for that matter, you don't even know what your goal will look like when you get there. All you know is what it looks like from where you're standing right now, a world in which it isn't fully alive yet. This is an echo of last week's core value, brave uncertainty. Don't shy away from it. Expect it. Boy, was trusting the process more than our certainty true for us in the development of Fabric. I'm incredibly proud of what we did in our first years, but I also look back and cringe a little. We were doing what we had to do, so we could see what to do next. And that's still true. The vision never has changed, but what it means and what it looks like will continue to reveal itself to us. You never arrive. You just get further down the road so that you can see a further horizon. And that's okay. Trust the process. The process is to focus on your goal, review what you learn, test ideas, question what you observe. Our assumptions are often our greatest obstacles, after all. And revise your what and your how while you cling to your why. The next piece to thinking big is something Carl brought home to us. I'm going to call it watch for waves to ride and attach your big to an even bigger big. Your big will be even bigger when you realize the greater movement it is part of. For Carl and Justin, it was about the opening up of Medicare and Medicaid. Others are going to be following them and riding the waves of what they got going. And that's great. It's how it's supposed to work. The big wave we saw as Fabric was people streaming away from the church, but still searching for places of belonging, for something deeper than a good idea, for relationships of sharing and caring and trusting and growth. We didn't invent anything. We just read the room and gave people a place to go. The point is, you don't have to be the only one. You don't have to be the first, the biggest, or the shiniest car in the train. They all get to the next station. Thinking that your big idea needs to be the first or the best or the biggest big idea is just pure vanity. Your kids, your students, that prairie you're trying to preserve, that group you're starting, they don't care about biggest, first, best. They care that what you are doing exists, that it stays healthy and generates life for them. Okay, got room for one more? Here it is. Avoid either ors and look for both ands. Like Justin and Carl experienced, when what they were doing matched the means by which they were doing it, both sides won. They each supported the other. They didn't have to choose a successful business or accomplish our mission. No, it was both. Sure, life and the world are complex, and it always gets messy, and anyone who tells you there's a rosy path without compromise, headache, and heartache is selling you something else. That said, the stuff of life is pretty consistent. When you think you have to choose between your job or your family, don't you think that the real problem is that you're asking the wrong question? That you're thinking too small? If you're proud of what you are doing, but not of how you are doing it, it's time to focus, review, and revise. If you're at a dead end, turn around. There is another way. Don't lose your dream. Keep looking for the both and. Okay, now, you know, thinking big takes a lot of reimagining. Reimagining that only you can do. While you let all the juices that may be stirring up inside you right now simmer, I invite you to listen to this song from Fabric's Chris Tripolino and Matt Herzog about reimagining. I'll be back with the last thought right afterward.
Other out, we imagine ups and downs, made some down and outs. We scream mine as if we needed more. We do the same with all of our weapons of war, experts to maim and kill. Find our target, yes, we will reimagine and see if there was just you and me. see. Old things are fading, the new simply waiting for us to reimagine and to see. Independence like a drug, holy text held up above, we together, each of us, in the fabric from which we were knit in love. We find new ways to forego pain when feeling's much of why we're made. We try to live by letting blood hold our breath, close our eyes in the sweet breeze, shining sun. Reimagine and see if there was just you and me. Imagine and see. Old things are fading, the new simply waiting for us to reimagine and to see.
The new, that big idea, is simply waiting for us to reimagine and to see. You may be looking at all the big ideas in the world and be thinking, I can't do that. And I say, really? Well, what can you do? You don't need to do mine. You don't need to do anyone else's. Just yours. What is it? That's your homework this week. So to go back to the question I started with, what are you accomplishing with your life? I know it can be amazing. I also know that it won't be easy, quick, or always fun, but it will matter. You matter. What you do matters. Think big. And may love and the quantity and variety of life abound because of it. We'll see you next week, when we take a break from all this seriousness of connecting, uncertainty, and thinking big, and look at another core value of ours that keeps coming around, whimsify. And yes, we know that's not really a word, it's not in the dictionary, but that's kind of the point, okay? So just hang in there with us and we'll whimsify. See ya.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website. fabricmpls.com.